Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Well, another day in the war against evil. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve. And this show is for Wednesday, the 15th of March, 2017. We are still in the book of Ezekiel, and we'll be for a little bit. We're going to try to get chapter 17 through 20 done today. Let's see how we do. But, pardon me, before I launch into that, I want to remind everybody that Eurofolk Radio is now offering a feast day calendar according to Enoch's solar calendar. Brother Hebert of North Carolina has put together a beautiful full-color calendar depicting the Hebrew feast days, and each page depicts scene from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon Heritage, basically the top page, and then you have the bottom page as the full calendar. And if you would like a copy, just click on the donate button at the top of the page and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. Please put calendar in the message and give us your mailing address, and you will, pardon me, get your calendar forthwith in time for all the new feast days, beginning with Passover Sunday evening, April 2nd, 2017, at sundown. And that's when I will be out of town. I will be at the Passover here in Kentucky. So thank you very much. EFR does need some operating funds. We're trying to do some things to spark some donations, because we're getting real tight here, and we can't run this thing for free. Nobody gets paid. Everybody's volunteered. This just goes for operating expenses, and we do have operating expenses, and we could use your assistance. So let's get right into the book of Ezekiel here. And no sooner do I start talking than I have to cough. Oh, man, I'm sick of that, but that's life. Let's get into chapter 17 here, verse 1. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, propound 2330, a riddle, 2420, that's kudkida, pardon me, I read that wrong. And quote a parable, quote is 4911, and parable is 4912, that's mashal, to the house of Israel. Those are both word plays. Oh, yeah, the weather turned cold here again, and my lungs were acting up. Verse 3, and say, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, a great eagle, 5404, with great wings, long-winged, that's 750 and 83, full, 4392, in plumage, 5133, with diverse colors, 7553, came to Lebanon, 3844, and took away 3947 the treetop 6788 of the cedar 730. Okay, this is a figurative of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and that's Nesher for the eagle, and long wings is another description of him, full in plumage with diverse colors. In other words, multiracial. Came to Lebanon and took away the treetop, that's Zamareth 6788, of the cedar. And that's Erez, and that's a figure of Israel. Some have it as 736 Eretz, but in the Hebrew text I have, which is probably the most accurate, it's the cedar 730. Verse 4. He plucked off 6998, the top 7218, in other words, his head, of his young twigs 3242, and carried them into a land of merchants 3667. Those Kanani. He set them in a city of traders, 7402, Rachal. Verse 5. He also took away from the seed, that would be seed line, that's the posterity of Israel, and put it in a field. And put here's 5414, and that is planted in a field for sowing, 2233. That's another usage of 2233. He took it away unto abundant waters and set it as a willow tree, not a willow tree by the stream. Safa, willow tree. And it sprouted, 6779, Samach, and became a spreading, 5628, Sarach, as free or unrestricted vine, 1612, and vine is used as a figure of Israel throughout this chapter. Of low height, of low stature, in other words, or importance. Its branches turned toward him, 1808, Dalioth, and its roots, 8328, were under him, 8478. So it became a vine and produced boughs, 6288, Poroth, and roots, 8328, is a metaphor for people. Its people were underneath him, and it produced offspring, basically. Verse 7. But there was another great eagle, and this is as a figurative of Pharaoh, with great wings and much plumage. And behold, the roots of this vine stretched hungrily its roots toward him. Stretched hungrily is 3719. Kafana. That he might give it water, 8248, by the garden bed, 6170, where it was planted, 4302. So they were hoping that Mitzrayim would help them in Babel. Well, verse 8. It was transplanted, 8362, in a good field by abundant water, that it might produce branches, 6057, that's enough. And it might bear fruit and be a magnificent vine, magnificent in 155. Verse 9, thus says the Lord Yahweh, shall it prosper, 6743, shall he, and that is referencing the first eagle, not tear out, 5423, the roots of it, and strip off the fruit of it, strip off is 7082, the fruit of it, so it withers, 3001. It shall wither all the leaves, 2964, of her growth. And that's a metaphor for the leaves, a metaphor for Judah. Growth is 6780. Even without great arms, that's a man's arm as a symbol of strength, or many people to lift it up, 5375, by its roots. Well, Nebuchadnezzar transplanted Israel and Judah. Verse 10, yea, behold, as transplanted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind, that's the hot, dry wind from the desert, touches it? It shall wither in the garden. In the garden beds where it grew. In other words, he was warning again, don't go to Egypt. Verse 11, then the word of Yahweh came to me saying, here's verse 12 and verses 12 through 15. You can reference 2 Kings 24, 15 through 20. And 2 Chronicles 36, 10 through 13. Say now to the rebellious house, do you know what these things mean? Say, behold, the king of Babel has come to Jerusalem and has taken away its king and its officers and brought them to Babel. And you can reference Ezekiel 12:10 when Nebuchadnezzar takes Zephaniah, okay? Verse 13, he took the royal seed line and made a covenant with him, and imposed an oath on him. He took away the leaders of the land. Verse 14, so the kingdom might be humbled. In other words, Israel would be humbled, 8217. So it would not exalt itself, and by keeping his covenant, it might stand. Verse 15, but he rebelled against him, he referring to Zephaniah, sending messengers to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, to Pharaoh, that they might give him horses and many people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that does these things? 4:28. It's all speaking of Zephaniah. Zephaniah broke covenant with Yahweh first, and this covenant is a test. Shall he break a covenant and escape? Nope. Verse 16. As I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, surely not. In the place of the king that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he broke with him in the midst of Babel, he shall die. Verse 17. Neither shall Paro, 6547, with his great army and numerous assembly, make war with him, pouring out siege mounds and building siege works to cut off many lives. He despised an oath, that's speaking of Zephaniah again, he despised an oath and broke a covenant when, lo, he had given his hand, and shook hands, made a deal, and done all these things, he shall not escape. Verse 19, therefore thus says the Lord Yahweh, as I live, surely not, because my oath he has despised, and my covenant he has broken, I shall give it back upon his own head. Not only did he break a covenant with Yahweh, he broke his oath with the king of Babel. Verse 20. I will spread my net upon him. He shall be caught in my snare, and I will bring him to Babel, and will have controversy, 8199, that's as past judgment, with him there for his treachery that he committed against me. And treachery is ma'al, that he committed, that's 4603, and that's ma'al, 4604. 4603 and 4604, there's only a vowel point difference, and it's virtually, it's ma'al and ma'al. It's a pronunciation difference, but it's a word play in the Hebrew. They did that a lot. Verse 21. And all fugitives of all his army shall fall by the sword, and the survivors shall be scattered by all the winds. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken. You can see Ezekiel 12:14 on that. He was a treacherous king, and he was going to be brought down. Verse 22. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will take from the treetop of the lofty cedar, and I will set it. I will pluck off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will transplant it on a high and lofty mountain. Verse 23, in the high mountain of Israel, that's Maram, high, here refers to Mount Zion. In the high mountain of Israel I will transplant it, and it shall produce boughs and make fruit and become a majestic cedar, and beneath it he shall settle to abide, shall settle to abide, 7931, all birds of every wing, in the shadow of its branches they shall settle to abide. All the fugitives would come home eventually under a new king. Verse 24, And all the trees of the field shall know that I, Yahweh, have laid low, 8213, the high tree, exalted the low tree, 8217, dried up the moist tree, and made dry the tree to bud. I, Yahweh, have spoken and done it, and the trees of the field are other races and nations. So he's going to punish that king, and under a new king, he's going to return Israel. And this is later. And when they were talking about branches of Israel, these branches were children. And the branches learned a lot of bad stuff there. And whenever they return them, they're going to bring back a lot of the Babylonianism, the Talmudism, etc., etc. In verse 10, it was talking about Israel would wither in Egypt. The east wind, the desert wind, would dry up their prosperity because they were told not to go to Egypt. They were to surrender and go to Babylon for correction, where they would separate the sheep and the goats. And a lot of the goat people came back, unfortunately, and brought their Babylonian Talmudism with them. So let's get into chapter 18 here. Verse 1. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, and here's verse 2, and you can reference Jeremiah 31, verse 29, for verse 2. What do you mean, quoting this proverb upon the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are blunted? That's a quote from in Jeremiah. Okay. Verse 3. As I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, this shall no more be quoted as a proverb in Israel. Behold, all lives, 5315, are mine. As the life of the Father, the life of the Son is mine. The person that sins, 2398, he shall die. In other words, the sons aren't going to be punished for the father's sins. Verse 5, if a man is just and does justice and righteousness, verse 6, and is not eaten upon the mountains, that means sacrifice, food, things sacrificed to idols, and is not eaten upon the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor has defiled his neighbor's wife, nor has approached a menstruous woman. That's impure. Verse 7, nor oppressed any man, and has returned to the debtor his pledge, nor seized by robbery, and has given food to the hungry, and has covered the naked with clothing. Verse 8, nor given out at usury, nor taken unjust interest, has turned away his hand from iniquity, and has executed true justice between man and man. Verse 8, you can reference Exodus 22:25, Leviticus 25, verse 36 and 37. Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 7 and 10. Psalms 15, verse 5. Proverbs 28, verse 8. Isaiah 24, verse 2. And Jeremiah 15, verse 10. Verse 9, you can reference Leviticus 18, verse 5 on this one. Has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments, dealing truly. He is righteous, he shall surely live, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 10. If he begets a son who is violent, 63:30. A shedder of blood, and does to his brother one of these things, all the sins that I just read, though his father does not do them, but eats upon the mountains, in other words, he eats meat sacrificed to idols, and defiles his neighbor's wife, verse 12. Oppresses the poor and needy, seizes by robbery, does not restore the pledge, lifts up his eyes to idols, commits abomination, verse 13, has given out at usury, and has taken unjust interest, shall he live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him, and that should read blood guilt. His blood guilt. That's what that means. His blood guilt shall be upon him. Verse 14. So you got a righteous father, an unrighteous son. Here we go to 14. This is speaking of a grandson. Now, lo, he begets a son that sees all the sins which his father has done and considers and does not do like them. Does not eat upon the mountain, doesn't eat meat sacrificed to idols, nor lift up his eye to the idols of Israel, nor defiles his neighbor's wife, verse 16, nor oppresses any man, nor withholds a pledge, nor seizes by robbery, gives food to the hungry, and covers the naked with clothing, has turned away his hand from the poor, that means forgiven debts, just said, well, you're poor, you can't pay me, don't worry about it, let it go. Has not taken usury nor unjust interest, has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. Ah, coffee. Verse 18. His father, because he cruelly oppressed, seized from his kinsmen by robbery, and did what is not good among his people, lo, he shall die in his iniquity. Verse 19. You say, why does the son not bear the iniquity of the father? The son that does justice and righteousness and keeps all my statutes and does them, he shall surely live. Verse 20. You can reference Deuteronomy 24, verse 16 for this. The person that sins, he shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, nor shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. Speaking of the grandfather and the righteous grandson. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, reap what you sow. Verse 21. But if the wicked turns away from all his sins, here's a voice of hope here. But if the wicked turns away from all his sins that he commits, and keeps all my statutes, and does justly and righteously, he shall surely live. In other words, repent, change the way of your life, and start to do righteously. Verse 22, all the transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be remembered in the righteousness that he does, he shall live. Why is that? Let's take a break here for a second. We are his children. If you have a son that turns out to be a bit bad and gets into trouble and does a bunch of stupid stuff, as we all have upon occasion, come on, guys. Are you going to cast out that son forever if he repents and straightens himself up and comes and says, Dad, I'm a complete screw-up. Please forgive me. I've changed my ways. I'm trying to do right. Please forgive me. You're going to forgive that boy. You are. I know you are. If he changes his whole lifestyle, how much more so Yahweh, who can see into the heart of men, sees into your heart, sees into my heart, knows what our intentions truly are. How much more so the great Father in heaven? You quote John 3:16. Yahweh so loved his order of arrangement, not the world, his order of arrangement, that he gave his only begotten Son. And if we repent under the blood sacrifice for the remission of sins that was perfect, the one made by Yeshua at Calvary, and come under that covenant, and really, truly straighten up. Now, you can't play with it and go back to your old ways. That's not going to fly. Then you'll be saved, and you'll be forgiven of your sins. But it depends on what you do. Your faith is the reason you'll be saved, but you also have to actually put it into action. You're not getting off scot-free with an I'm sorry, and then you go back to doing what you're doing. And not going to happen. Let's get back to this. Verse 23. Do I have pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord Yahweh, and not that he should turn back from his ways and live? He doesn't like punishing. He's not mean. He's just righteous. He's bound by his own rules because he's perfect. We're the ones that mess up, not him. Verse 24. But if the righteous turns away from righteousness, uh-oh, and commits iniquity, doing all the abominations that the wicked does, shall he live? All the righteousness that he had done shall not be remembered in the trespass that he commits, and in the sin that he sins, in them he shall die. It's a mirror image. It's reversal. So if the bad guy turns good, he'll be forgiven. But if somebody that was living righteously turns bad, that righteousness is for nothing. Because our righteousness is in filthy rags. You have to keep doing what's right. You can't just go back to your old ways and start being rotten. So once saved, always saved is a lie. You can't go running up to some altar, say, oh, I'm sorry, I did this and I did that, and then go back out and you're good for 2 or 3 weeks, and then you go back to doing the same stuff. Isn't going to happen. Verse 25. Yet you say, the way of Yahweh is not equitable. They substituted Adonai there, and they have Lord. It's not. It's the way of Yahweh is not equitable. 8505 for equitable. That's takan. That means adjusted to the standard. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not equitable? Are your ways not unequitable? Verse 26, when the righteous turn away from righteousness and commit iniquity and dies with them upon him, for the iniquity he has done, he shall die. Die twice here. That means a second death. Because he rejected Yahweh at the last in the tribulation period. Only the ones that keep their faith and don't lose their faith in Yahweh, even though it's rough times, those are the ones that are going to be preserved. But the people that turn themselves in and throw themselves on the mercy of the court and all that secular garbage, they lose their eternal life. They're done. Verse 27, and if the wicked turns away from the wickedness he does and does justly and righteously, he shall save his life, because he's turned himself over to Yahweh and said, fix me, please, Father. I'm a sinner. Repentance, and actually turns and does righteousness. That's what repentance means, not just saying you're sorry with your lips, but saying you're sorry by changing your ways. Verse 28, he considers what he does and turns away from all the transgressions that he does. He shall surely live and not die. Says it right there. Verse 29, yet the house of Israel says, the way of Yahweh is not equitable. O house of Israel, are my ways not equitable? Are your ways not unequitable? Verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each man according to his ways, declares the Lord Yahweh. Turn back from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your stumbling block. 4383. Verse 31. cast away from upon you all your transgressions by which you have transgressed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why die, O house of Israel? Verse 32. Because I have no pleasure in the death of he that dies, declares the Lord Yahweh. Turn back and live. In verse 32, you can reference the wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha, chapter 1, verse 13. Everybody answers for their own sins. If you live a life of a heller and don't repent, you will suffer the second death. If you live the life of the righteous and turn bad, you will suffer the second death. If you live the life of the unrighteous and repent and turn to righteousness, ask Yahweh for forgiveness and change your ways, you come under the new covenant of Yeshua Messiah. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Well, let's get into chapter 19 here. I don't think we'll be able to do 19 and 20. 20 appears to be a long... No, we're not going to get 20 today. We're going to have to stop at the end of 19. All right, chapter 19 is a dirge, which is a song of mourning and usually at funeral services, but this is here as a lament for the apostatized nation of Israel, because Ezekiel can see the way that Israel is going, and they're not straightening up. Let me get a hit of this lukewarm coffee here. Oh well, better no coffee. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Lift you up a dirge, 7015, that's Kenah. For the prince, 5387, of Israel, and he's speaking of Zedekiah, King Zedekiah, and say, what a lioness was your mother. Lioness is 3833. She lay down among lions and reared her whelps in the midst of the young lions, 3715. Those are as princes and kings. Verse 3. She raised up one from her whelps. He became a young lion. And that is a prince of Israel. He learned to tear and prey. Tear the prey. Pardon me. He devoured Adami, and that's as the seed of Adam. Verse 4. The nations heard regarding him. He was caught, 86:10, in their pit, 78:45. They brought him with hooks to the land of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. Verse 5, and you can reference 2 Kings 23:34, and this is speaking of Jehoiakim. That means Yah raises up. This is a different king. When she saw, after she had waited, 31:76, that her hopes had perished, she took another of her whelps, and that's Jehoiakim, and made him a young lion. Verse 6. He prowled among the lions. That's 1980. That's his walked his way among the lions. He became a young lion. He learned to tear the prey. He devoured Adami, again, the people of Adam. Verse 7, he ravaged, in other words, knew, in a sense of carnal knowledge, their castles, 7:5-9, laid waste, 2:7-1:7, their cities. The land and all in it were desolated. 3:4-5:6, by the sound of his roaring, 7:5-8:1, and that's figurative of a conquering king. He roared, oh, I am king now. Okay. Verse 8, the nations from the provinces, 4:08:2, this means the provinces of the Babylonian Empire. The nations from the provinces all around set upon him. They spread their net over him. He was caught in their pit. Verse 9. With hooks, they put him in a cage, 5:4-7:4, and brought him to the king of Babel. They brought him into a stronghold, 4:6:7:9. So that his voice was no more heard upon the mountains of Israel. Went into captivity. Verse 10. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard. Vine is a figure of Israel, and vineyard is 3:7:5:4. Strong's has 1818 there, and that is a textual error. That was a misprint in Strong's. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the waters, becoming fruitful and full of branches, again as people, from abundant waters. Verse 11. Her strong rods became scepters for rulers. Her height was lofty among interwoven foliage. In 5:6:8:8, interwoven foliage is unclear in the Hebrew. That word is corrupted. So, she appeared high with abundant branches. That's people and progeny. Okay, lots of sons. Verse 12. She was rooted up in fury. 5:4:2:8 for rooted up in fury. 2:3:5:4. That means torn up by the roots. Cast down to the ground. The east wind dried up her fruit. That's the east wind is the dry desert wind. Her strong rods were broken off and dried up. Fire consumed them. Those are the people that went to Egypt in violation of what Yahweh commanded. Verse 13. Now she is transplanted in the wilderness in a land of drought. 6:7:2:3 and thirst. 6:7:7:2. 14. Fire has gone forth from a rod of her shoots, 9:05, and devoured her fruit. So no strong rod remains as a scepter to rule. This is a dirge and shall be a dirge. And that ends chapter 19. They kept on and kept on, and Yahweh said, turn yourself over to the king of Babel and accept your punishment like good children. And they wouldn't. Now, a lot of them went to Mitzrayim, and he destroyed them in Mitzrayim. And Babel came and just destroyed. They attacked Egypt and defeated them and killed most of the people that were fugitives. The kings defied them, and they captured them. The ones that submitted, they lived. And Zedekiah betrayed both Yahweh and the king of Babel. He made an oath with the king of Babel and didn't keep it. And Nebuchadnezzar was nobody to mess with. He'd invade your land and wipe you out. But they didn't see this. They weren't listening. They weren't looking. So, got himself killed. Nebuchadnezzar, like I said, was not somebody to play with. But they didn't want to listen. So, they suffered the punishment. And our people have done this over and over and over. This is not new. We kept on. And then he brought us back after the 70 years. And we were disobedient again. We finally got dispersed. We went up into Europe. Became Christians. Then the Christian churches became polluted and perverted. We founded this country as a righteous Christian nation, and look at it now. The seed of the devil has crept in, and basically, by subterfuge and monetary influence, conquered us through lies and economic pressure and the greed, the acquiescence through greed of our own people. Our politicians, a lot of the politicians, are not Jewish. They're white people that seek power and money, 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 money. That's all they want. They're greedy, evil white men. Our own people are our greatest enemies. Our own people betray us. Our own people send us off at the behest of the seed of the devil to die in wars for profit of the children of the devil. They make their money off of war. And off our blood. And they send us off to kill each other. We kill our own brothers. I mean, how sick is that? World War I, World War II, the destruction of the German people. All National Socialism with this. I don't care about that. There is no righteous form of government by man. Samuel told us of this. If you want a king or a president or a prime minister or whatever title you give them, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting Yahweh. And we did. We rejected Yahweh, and we got kings, and now we've got presidents and prime ministers, and they lead us down the path and lie to us, and they are controlled by unelected people. And we just go along with all of this. Oh, well, what can we do? Well, Yahweh's going to do. That's who's going to do. And that's coming up. And you can see the decline, the rapid decline of their financial empire for these evildoers. They're starting to crumble, and they're going into full panic mode. The truth is coming out against them. And they are going crazy, shutting down search engines. You can't find this and you can't find that. It won't take you there. This guy's labeled as spam. I mean, they're doing everything they can to keep people from the truther sites, to cancel out their influence, because we're really starting to make a dent. And that's the entire point of what we do here at EFR. I read you the straight gospel without the corruption, and I try to point it out wherever it occurs. Compare your King James with this, and this says this instead of this. They changed this word, on and on. It's a slow process, but it's a good Bible study. A daily time out with Yahweh, and if you don't catch it right away, you can get it on the downloads and the archives. We're behind on that because basically I don't have enough hours in the day to put them up on the archive. I don't have the time. It's a very slow process to get them up on TalkShoe, which then goes on to the archive site. And I have to have some time to go shopping and to sleep and to eat and take a shower and just relax once in a while. I'm an old man and I don't have the stamina I did as a young man. So I'm doing the best I can. We are doing the best we can. We're all volunteers at EFR. All of us. Nobody gets paid. There's no paid positions. This is a complicated, expensive, and time-consuming process to just get this stuff on the air. We're fighting the good fight. And most people are content to sit back and listen instead of get involved. We understand that. There are a dedicated few, and more are gathering, that are trying to help. I live real poor. But I still find some shekels to buy computer equipment, etc., etc., whenever I can. I have to save up so I can pay my way to go to the feasts. And all I can do is lead by example. I can't make anybody do anything. Neither can Eli, neither can David James, or Pastor Visser, or Greg Howard, or Ken Gregg. No, we can't force anything on anybody. But we can lead by example. We do what we do and try to be good Christian Israelites. I read you the word. I hope you listen. I hope you learn from it. My hour is ended, and I must say good day to you. I will be back with chapter 20. Starting with chapter 20 tomorrow. Praise Yahweh. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads. against the foe.